Hello, I'm Mark Thompson at Super Simple 365, and I'm going to take you through what's new with Microsoft 365 and Teams for the 7th to the 28th of August 2021. After a bit of a summer break, we've got a bit of catching up to do. You can see here that we've got our usual revised timelines, and down the middle there you can see we've got quite a few topics to do. We'll have a handful of bite-sized updates, a couple of really nice ones to watch, and then I'll remind you how to keep up with 365. But let us start with our revised timelines. So, Word on Mac and Windows. So I've been talking about this for quite a while, modern comments. So just the extra functionality that comes with the modern comments, that is due anytime now. So at the end of August, that should be dropping anytime now. Stream, the new updated player for video. So this is the stream that's built on SharePoint. This is videos which are either on SharePoint or in your OneDrive. This new player with new accessibility features as well. This is due sometime between now and the end of September. And just a quick one, Microsoft Search, the ability to find a Microsoft Teams meeting based on what was said. So this is reliant on the transcript being turned on as well, which, remember, I've already told you that when you record a Teams meeting, the transcript is going to be automatically generated. You don't need to remember to do that. And that's going to tie up with this functionality, so the ability to search for your meetings from the transcript, or search what was said in the meeting on the transcript. So look out for that between now and the end of September. Just to clarify that last thing, that is just the meetings, what people said in the meetings, surfacing in your regular Microsoft Search, and then we'll take you into a meeting. So, tripped over that last one a little bit. This one is the Teams and PowerPoint. This is presenting live. This is the ability for you to be in a Teams meeting and then realize that actually you need to present something. So whether you're on the web app or in the downloaded version, the dates are slightly different, but the functionality is the same. You can just open a presentation, and you can see here just where we're highlighted. You see here we can present that team. So we can just push a presentation from PowerPoint straight into a meeting without uploading it or hooking up any other way. That has got quite a long tail, rolling out somewhere between now and mid-November. So, talked about this before, this is the auto expiration of recording. So by default, if you've got a Microsoft Teams meeting recorded and saved to your OneDrive or SharePoint, by default they will expire after 60 days and they will delete. Now, your organization may not opt for this, and they might opt out, or you can also change how long those things are kept for. So between 1 day and 99,999 days, which is, I don't know, a couple of hundred years, whatever it is. So for more details of that, look at the blog. But that is rolling out at the end of September up until mid-December. Now, the ability for view-only attendees to register for a Teams meeting. So you got the functionality when you set up a Teams meeting, you have the drop down for a regular meeting, or you can say you want people to be able to register. That isn't available for view only attendees, and for now that's gone on hold. There's a few little issues there I want to tie up with that. SharePoint News Boost. So do you ever have a story? So in my role, I do have to produce posts and stories on SharePoint. And very quickly, something really important, really popular, can get pushed down by new, lesser news. So this is going to stop that. You can give your news a boost, and you can set how long you want it boosted for. You can see here that the setting that is there on the right-hand side. That's been pushed back a little bit, but you can expect that in September. This is interesting. So end-to-end encryption for your Teams phone calls, your conversations in Teams. It'd be interesting to see how this comes out and what new uses Teams finds with organizations that need a bit more security. That's been pushed back a little bit, late September to early October. Okay, so this is another one that's been pushed back. So the new people who join your organization, and are using Teams, their notification option will automatically default to that of the operating system. So instead of you getting the purple pop-up in Teams and you get notified in Windows of some stuff, all your Teams notifications will get pushed to the Windows the Windows notification system. Looking forward to that. It might even turn it on by default. You can see there's the options for people to override that and change it back if they want to. But look out for that, folks. You can actually set that yourself, but all new people will get it automatically. Going back to SharePoint. Now, sometimes some pages in SharePoint are just too long. Okay, they just go on and on and on. And some of the detail, maybe everyone doesn't need to read that. So what you can do, you can use these collapsible sections. Now you might know this in the past, you might have referred to it as accordions, and you might have done a little bit of code on your page to do that. Now it's going to be a built-in part of SharePoint, but it's been put on delay. There's a couple of issues with it that they found from the early adopters of it. Now look out for that late September. And I'm not sure what's going on with my slide here, but paging on the video gallery. So you saw last month I told you about the ability for the 49 video feeds for you to be able to page and see another 49 video feeds. I don't know why you'd want to, but that's coming to the regular 3x3 and other layouts actually. So the ability to page is coming to other layouts in Teams meetings. Power Apps, the ability to display images from Microsoft List, has been pushed back again to late October. And folks, 9.12, in fact, updates there, revised updates. Now we're going to look at our full updates. This is where we go into a bit more detail and we look at some upcoming changes. Now, the first one is the tone detection in Microsoft Editor for Outlook on the web. So you're in Outlook, you're writing an email, and you can use the editor to help you with your email, as well as the tone. You can see here, you're going to set the tone for politeness, but you can also put it, turn this on for vocabulary, sensitive geopolitical references, punctuation conventions, inclusiveness. So it's really helping people with their emails, and you can have this in Word as well. Now, I do have the question mark about an organization setting the tone and the rules for some of the things you see on the screen there, setting the rules for a product that's used globally. Now I can see if you have English as a second language, or you're just not great at writing, then I can see this has got a use, but it'd be interesting to see how this pans out about going into the future about one organization setting the tone of so many people's writing. It's going to roll out in an off position, so you have to turn it on manually, and this will be available late September for Outlook on the web. And you, as you can imagine, you can look out for that in the full version of Outlook after that at some point. Now, lightweight plans in Planner. This is a great feature that I told you about some time ago, but it kind of went away. You might have heard me talking about roster plans. So the roster is the thing that allows this functionality. So instead of using that term roster plans, which doesn't mean anything to most people, they decided to call it lightweight plans. So the plans can be created outside of a Microsoft 365 group, so you don't get everything that comes with that. So the group, you don't get a group for a start, and you don't get the SharePoint and all that other stuff that would come with a plan before. So a lot of the other functionality is disabled, the OneNote, the SharePoint site, etc. Now, bizarrely, you still cannot create these in Planner. There's no user interface. So that UI, I should have used the full term there, I apologize. So that user interface, there's no way of creating it. It can be created within meetings or via the Graph API. That means nothing to most people. Now, this fourth bullet point here, I think there's going to be some functionality coming in Teams meetings, where you can create tasks like that, and it's going to get pushed into these lightweight plans. I think that is the mechanism they're going to use for that. There's no other plans to the functionality of these lightweight plans, except for the stuff that you can't do. The stuff that you can do is the same as a full fat version. Now, look out for that mid-September to mid-October. It's coming out. It's coming out in that kind of like that minimum version, that minimum viable product. I think really to support the new functionality in meetings. I think as a standalone piece of use, that will come afterwards, I think. Now, Power Apps and Power Automate, the retirement of the direct links in the OneDrive connector. So this is a little bit niche, and I appreciate this will not be of interest to most of you, but it's really important. Those of you who do use it, you need to know about this. So this applies to direct links that you are creating in a Power Apps or Power Automate. Now, the reason this has been retired is because rather than creating a sharing link, it actually creates it actually downloads a file. So that's not what you intended, okay? And it is creating some problems. Now, if it is in use, the action will start returning an error message when people try to use it. So you have until the 25th of September to get those changed. Now, pop over to the blog and you will see some more information about that, and I'll push you out to Microsoft so you can learn more. So it tells you what you should be doing about that. Modern comments in PowerPoint. So this is intended to help improve your collaboration experience. So it's the new experience includes the comments being anchored to text or to whatever object you're commenting on. So if you move that text, or you move the object or the image, then your comment will move around with it. And you can mark threads as resolved. It has an improved notification system, so people will get notified, but they can also respond and resolve the comment from the email itself. They don't always have to go after that. So that looks really nice, but look out for that late October to late January. So this is because people roll out, different organizations roll out their office updates at different paces. So that's why that's got such a long tail. That's a big period of time, October, November, December, January. So that's the reason that it's so long. Okay, so really popular feature coming to Teams, and it's a synchronization of the Teams channel name with the corresponding file's name behind the scenes. Now, you will know that when you go to Teams, go to your team, go to channel, there's a files tab at the top and you have your files in there. But that's not really where those files are. They're not really in Teams, are they? They're in the SharePoint site behind the team, and there's just a folder with that channel name, and that's where those files really are. Now, when either of those get changed, the file name or the folder or the channel name get changed, you get like a disconnect between the two. So technically it still works, but just managing it and finding your way around is just clunky and difficult. So when you update the channel name, so you can see here, this is not a great graphic, by the way, folks, but I didn't have one I could use. So here we have the original file name behind the scenes. This is where the files really are. So then we go and change the name of the channel, and you can see that it gets changed instantaneously. It applies to new and existing channels. It can't go back and retrospectively fix this, but any new channels or any new changes to existing channels after this update has come out, it will take effect and it will start doing that. I think that's really welcome. And I've been working with Teams now for over 3.5 years, and this has always been an irritation. Okay, so we have, you can probably tell from the way my expression instantly, this is a highlight. This is a real highlight. Breakout rooms, pre-meeting room creation and participant assignment. So do you remember when breakout rooms first came out and you were setting them up? Only the organizer could create the rooms, could assign people to the rooms, but you couldn't do this until your meeting actually started. So you've started your meeting and you're trying to set your rooms up and you're trying to put people in those rooms, and it was a more stressful experience than it needed to be. Now you'll be able to, in advance, you get this new tab. So look over to the right hand side here, folks. This is our, we've clicked into our meeting and we've got the new breakout rooms tab. So in here we can create our rooms and we can assign people to those rooms. This applies to regular channel meetings and to private meetings. So normal meetings and meetings inside your channels. So you can see on the screen there, folks, we're adding, deleting, renaming, configuring the rooms. You can automatically assign people to the room. So where you just tell it to evenly distribute people, or you can manually do it. Get all that set up in advance. So you can see that I've actually given it a star a week. I think that is brilliant. And people at the Inform team, when I was telling them about this, that they all love this feature. Due, mid, too late September. That's the kind of thing that might slip a little bit. So you might hear about me telling you about delays to this. But really excited about that. Another highlight coming to breakout rooms is presenter support. So this means that you can, as the organizer, you can nominate people to support you with this, and they become breakout room managers, and they can do all these tasks. Look at the screen there, folks. Pretty much everything you need to do with a breakout room, they can do. There can only be one breakout room manager at a time, so you could allocate these people. And I think, so I don't know, but I believe from what I've read that the breakout room managers can move around the room. So it's not just the organizer. Remember that only the organizer can move between the rooms freely. Now, but I believe that anyone who's a breakout room manager, I believe they can. You'll have one breakout room manager at a time. You can see how here that Daniela is managing the rooms, but you can take that right off them. You can hand the baton over if you'd like. So that I think is amazing. Imagine you got 8 rooms and you need somebody who's a little bit more IT savvy or tech savvy to manage those rooms, and you got someone just to help you and go and do that. Look out for that, folks. Mid to late September on the desktop version of Teams. So that is probably going to go in hand with this previous one, the pre-meeting room creation. But I think that is a super, super update to breakout rooms. Okay, so refreshed Microsoft Whiteboard. So this is referring to the web, the Teams version of the whiteboard, and the full app you get on Windows. It's meant to be across all devices, and features vary by the whiteboard version. And the availability also varies by the version, by the feature, but the whole rollout should be done by late October. While I'm talking about that, folks, let me just pull across for you. Let me just pull across the blog, and I just go onto this story here. Let me just show you this. So I'm just going to click onto the corresponding blog version here. So you can see here, these are all the new and available now features for the Teams and web version. These, look at this, folks. These are all the things that are coming soon to the web version, and these are all the new stuff that's coming to the full version, the full app version that you get in Windows. That is a really big update. So, folks, if you are a whiteboard user, go and check out the blog, because there's lots of good stuff there for you. Okay, so we are on to our bite-sized updates already. So, Teams introducing background effects on the web. So if you use the full version of the app, you may already be using this. But if for those people who have to use the web version, and I know an organization where people have to do that, you're going to get those features. Paging in the gallery. So I touched on this earlier for one part of the gallery, but it's coming to other galleries. So when you're in a Teams meeting, you got your videos on. So more gallery layouts are getting paging. That's just the ability to swipe right and see more videos. Teams. So if you get external calls in your Teams, in your organization, you're going to get this spam notification. So if it's likely to be spam, you're going to get this new pop-up. I think that's a really nice touch. Okay, our second set of bite-sized updates, the OneDrive and Power Platform, that retirement of the direct link. I told you about this already. I've included it again because, although I'm not talking about a lot of people affected by this, but it's going to be really important if you do use that. Okay, do you ever wonder what Microsoft are receiving from your Teams diagnostics? I don't, but somebody must, because they're sharing that information. So you're going to be able to view that data, that diagnostic data, if you want to. Voice over IP and PSTN calls. So PSTN calls, I'm just talking about normal type telephone calls, right? In Teams, you have recording and the transcript. So look at this on the right-hand side here. You can see we've got the that call there. It's going to show the recording and the transcript should you need it. Now, of course, the PSTN people with a regular telephone, there's no way for them to see that, just in case you wonder how that's going to work out. Okay, folks, so we're on to the ones to watch. Now, remember that these are updates where I don't have a lot of detail, or that so far in the future that it's not worth telling you so much about that. You're likely to see these ones reappear over the next few weeks. So Outlook, time-sensitive emails. So if you use Play My Emails with the AI behind the scenes, Microsoft's going to know which of those is time-sensitive, which one, I don't know, maybe it's 8:30 in the morning, and the one of them wants an answer by 9 a.m. From what I read, it will tell you about that email first. Project allowing 365 users to update their tasks even if they don't have a project license. That is quite interesting, I think. It just means that you don't have to have a license. And I guess if you are running the project plan, it just gives you, it'll free you up a little bit because people can update it. Conversations and app mentions. I'm guessing these two are kind of semi-related behind the scenes, but look out for conversations and app mentions coming into project as well. SharePoint navigation switcher. This is just giving you a little bit more control over your pages. Stream, generating captions for a video uploaded to SharePoint or to OneDrive. So you had this in the old version of Stream, didn't you? Where you upload a video, you tell it to generate a transcript, and then you spent probably a couple of hours correcting all the things that it got wrong because with my accent, and maybe I speak a little bit quickly, it really struggled with me. Anyway, that functionality is coming to the new version of Stream where your videos are on SharePoint or OneDrive. They seem to be working really hard at the moment to get the new version of Stream back up to the functionality of the old one. 1.4, Teams for Education. Now, I can't be honest, folks, I am not big on the education stuff. I don't work in that area, and my children's school don't do a lot with Teams. They did over the pandemic, but they seem to have waned a little bit on that. But look at this, this parent connection. It's just going to be much easier for the educators to hook up with the child's parents or carers. Look out for that in September if you are in that area. Teams scale Teams live events to 100,000 attendees. Now there's a bit more to that. You need to be using I don't exactly know, actually. I think it's a plugin or some other equipment, but I have a look at the blog that I wrote, so I should know it. But have a look at the blog, folks. There's a for under certain circumstances of a certain setup, you can have up to 100,000 attendees. I'll do my homework better for next time. And Teams anonymous meeting join across clouds. This is quite interesting. So a lot of us use the regular normal Teams and 365 tenant, but then there's different levels. There's like security ones for the American government, and there's different types of tenant for different needs. Okay, let's just leave it at that. And this just means that that the Teams meeting attendees can anonymously join the meetings of those other types of tenants. So in my head, I think maybe if somebody in the UK is maybe a defence contractor, and they want to do some work with the Department for Defence over in America, that they should be able to join those meetings and talk to each other. It might be nothing like that, but this is early days for this. As more information comes out, I will share that with you, of course. Okay, folks, so we're done for another week. Remember that a quick search on Super Simple 365 will help you find the SharePoint page, Twitter, YouTube. If you happen to listen to the blog, to the podcast version of this, hop over to YouTube, LinkedIn, the blog, the newsletter. If you want the newsletter, folks, if you want this delivered, say, to your inbox, so you get to work Monday morning, and then all this is just written out for you and share it with your colleagues, then hop over to the blog and sign up. But for now, folks, we're done. We're going to go back to our usual cadence of once a week. We had a bit of a break for some holiday. We're going to go back to that once a week. I hope to see you next week. Thank you for watching and listening.